go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Nanta Nerditude Podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. I'm Chris, I'm here with...
Sam.
And Sean.
And John is with us.
Via Skype. Yo!
Hey, there he is!
Via Skype again. This is episode 66, people.
Woohoo!
Keep moving forward. Week of July 16, 2017. The topics for the agenda for tonight's episode is going to be the Game of Thrones season 7 episode 1 recap, which we all saw, right?
Except for me.
Okay, Sean didn't.
Sam watched the show. Yay.
Yeah. So I mean, I have my one take on this, but you know.
Yeah. But the agenda is Game of Thrones season 1. That's probably going to take up a decent chunk. Mm. And then we have a trailer topic, which is essentially, when should you and should you not watch trailers? John will elaborate on that a little bit more. We have, because Dunkirk is coming out this weekend, just a general overall discussion in the entertainment industry amongst ourselves. What is our favorite World War II movies? What do we consider some of the best? And then lastly, the Emoji Movie comes out in 2 weeks, people. Get your tickets.
Or don't.
I was gonna say like get your non-perishables ready, hunker down, you know. As long as you don't go outside, you can, you know, survive this storm of shit.
Unfortunately, one of myself, Sean, or John will be buying an Emoji Movie ticket.
I saw The Mummy, so you guys have to see this.
And I saw Transformers, but for some reason that didn't make me exempt. But anyway,
you wanted to
see
you
were going no matter what.
The chances of you wanting to see The Mummy, even though you won't say so, are extremely high.
I did not want to see The Mummy.
Then why did you spend money to go see it?
Because one of us had to see The Mummy.
And he had the day off.
Yeah.
One of us had to see Transformers. There we
one,
go.
One of us had to go see anyway. The Pirates of the Caribbean, but none of us did. Kind of glad
that. But anyway, Sam came up with a little challenge that is going to reverberate, if you will, throughout the rest of the episodes and coming weeks. He'll explain a little bit further. Basically, one of the four of us gets screwed every week.
Or every month.
Yeah, whenever there's something sufficiently awful coming out, one of us has to take the poison pill.
Like, it has to be a movie that's so bad, we really, like, Monster Trucks, I still want to see that. You know,
yeah, Max, Monster Trucks would have been up there.
Max Steel, I'm glad we saw that.
You saw that three times.
Shut the fuck up. 3 times in like less than 24 hours.
But anyway, we'll elaborate on that a little bit further. Basically, bad movies comes out. One of us is forced to watch them. But let's get into the big thing that happened over the weekend. Game of Thrones, Episode 1, Season 7 came out. It is the loosely termed second to last season. I only say loosely because it's split. There's 7 episodes. Yeah. This season, 6 episodes. Next season, it's not really a full season. So, but anyway, episode 1 came out. The title of the episode was Dragonstone. And, John, what did you think? Let's start with John.
I thought the first 5 minutes or so aside, it was a pretty slow, like, hey, guys, here's where the story's going to go. It wasn't, I mean, like, if you remember where we came from, the episode before with, like, Cersei blowing everybody up and the King of the Northingness and all that shit.
Arya.
This was a pretty, this is a pretty kind of laid back, like, let's go trounce around an island and have Euron, like, show up in court. That was pretty much it. But I thought it was good. What I really liked about it is that Hound is back in the game, folks. And I forgot how much I liked the Hound.
Yeah, he's good.
He's such a character to get a good character to struggle to get a read on whether or not he's good.
I saw somebody post on Twitter, and I kind of agreed with it. Like, did the Hound just sneakily become the best character on the show? Like, just happen to fall into this? Because who's to say otherwise? Because it's not Euron. I can tell you that much.
No, I agree.
Who? Where did you guys think Euron came from? Like literally came from with that fucking outfit.
Yeah. I thought he was like coming from some like, you know, he had a punk concert that he was singing lead for.
He was coming from a club in New York City.
Yeah,
100% where he's coming from.
It's like he manages like an artisanal sandwich shop.
But yeah, so I agree with you, John. It was a. I'd like to put it this way. It was a nice little nibble on every storyline just to kind of get you back into the Game of Thrones mindset. You know, you get a little bit of Sam, you get a little bit of Arya, you get a little bit of Jon Snow, Sansa, Cersei, Danny, you know, get a little bit of everybody. The Hound.
But, yeah, it was a nice soft landing, you know.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the first minute and a half. 2.5 minutes of this episode. Oh my god. Was it not some of the best? I want to say it was like 3 minutes of TV you've ever seen, or the most satisfactory TV you've ever seen.
Yeah, seeing the John?
I was kind of like, you know, like, yeah, it was sort of satisfying and kind of cathartic to some sense, but, you know, this, like, little, like, girl is, like, turning into a fucking mass murderer, and, like...
Yeah, but they destroyed the Stark family and the Army of the North. Right?
Yeah, but, like, Arya still kind of became a mass murderer. Yeah. I mean, like...
It doesn't matter.
Didn't kill everybody in that room.
They, like, killed Rob's unborn child. Like, they killed it first before the mom. It was ridiculous.
She did like kill off an entire family.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like more of a, well, like they're really, I mean, not that this show's ever been about moral like high ground or anything, but like, you know, I don't know, like it was just, she seemed to really enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah, but wasn't it the betrayal of Robb Stark that kind of like spiraled out of, like, everything for the Stark family spiraled out of control?
Well, I mean, it was a lot of things. I think Ned Stark had something to do with it.
I guess
that probably didn't help.
No, it probably didn't. But I mean, watching that scene, you knew what it was. I knew what it was from the second the guy stood up and started talking, and I just had this satisfactory smile on my face the whole time because I knew that she's gonna kill everybody. Whether or not she's a mass murderer, I mean, let's look at Cersei. So
I think it's pretty objective. Like,
yeah, she did kill a lot of people.
Let's look at Cersei. And I mean, even the Hound has killed more people than Arya has at this point.
To be fair, probably. One of those guys came back to life.
Yeah. Does he get credit for Beric Dondarrion?
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a topic for another time. Body count of Game of Thrones.
Actually, I'm sure somebody on Reddit has those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody on Reddit definitely has those numbers.
While you guys discuss, gives me something Game of Thrones related.
There you go.
Yeah. I will let
right
you know.
Look up the body count.
But anyway, I thought that was great. What'd you think of the Ed Sheeran little cameo there?
This is weird.
Oh, that was the thing that I was actually going to talk about, too. Damn.
Now that
I'm busy over here.
Like, but it was just so, like, ridiculous. I guess it is... The story isn't as shitty as, like, people are kind of making it out to be. I mean, like, yeah, Ed Sheeran showed up on Game of Thrones, which part of me is almost like, why didn't this sort of shit happen more? Like, it's, like, legitimately the first thing they've ever done, but, you know, besides, like, questionable scenes or, like, a brother and sister have, like, less than consensual sex next to the body of their dead son. But, you know, it's the first real, like, step they've ever gone wrong where it's ever been, like, you know, I don't know what the word, like, not really campy, but, like, just kind of dumb. But I thought it was fine.
I mean,
the song maybe was a little much.
Yeah. I mean, if those...
Wait, he had a song?
He sang a little bit.
Yeah, he sang.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay, if these soldiers come back and they play some part in the story further on, okay, I can understand this scene. But, like, it felt like they just came up with a reason to have Ed Sheeran on the show.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like right now.
I think they might have had an ulterior motive with that, showing that this war is going on forever, that kids are now involved.
It also humanizes the other side.
Yeah,
the soldiers on the other side.
Because, I mean, they're hinting at Lannister loyalty, but they're not really sure. It didn't come out clear.
Yeah, they're not there because they're loyal. They're there because they're bored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Actually, Chris, that's, like, a really good point, because, like, I kind of realized when I was doing, like, a rewatch of season 6 before this, like, over the weekend, that, like, the amount, like, all the fucking, like, half of the kings and queens are, like, kids in this show. Like, yeah, all the, yeah. like, the Lady Mormont and, like, the kid, like, the young whatever name, Robin Arryn or whatever, like, they're all, like, I mean, all the Baratheon kids, like, it's just such, like, a weird dynamic to have. Even Dany's not, like, you know, old.
Oh, in the books, she's so much younger than she is right now, so.
Yeah, isn't she supposed to be, like, 14 or something? Like, I mean.
I think she was 13 when she married Drogo.
Yeah.
She was young, like, teens.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Glad they cast up.
We'll just leave that one out there. Okay.
Glad they cast up. But anyway, another thing I really liked is the, when Jaime was talking to Cersei about how they don't have any allies, they're standing on the map. I want one.
Oh, you just want, yeah. I want one. Paint it out.
Yeah, I want to paint it out. Maybe not necessarily on the floor, even though that would be awesome. I would like it just on one of my walls in the house. Just a map of Westeros.
I mean, we have to paint this room sometime, so...
We do. If Sean lets us do that.
I zoned out. What? What are we doing to my room?
Nothing. Nothing good.
Painting it like Game of Thrones?
Maybe.
No.
Okay, so we'd rather have the palm trees on the wall.
Well, no, eventually the palm trees have to go.
I like palm trees, man.
It's calming. It really is calming.
It's 93 degrees and humid. And it just reminds me of even hotter weather with the palm trees there.
Yeah, but you know what? We're on a beach. This is just the...
Okay, guys, focus. Game of Thrones.
I don't sweat this much on a beach.
Well, yeah.
But,
yeah,
okay.
So sorry I'm not there.
So what else we got here?
Who were you looking at for kills? Like, who... I have a
Kill count.
Yeah, I know, but who
estimated, like, kill count?
Obviously.
Oh no, I didn't think about
or
it.
The Hound is killing more people.
Well, it depends. Arya or Hound. If you're talking through other means, I would say Dany is number
unfortunately,
one.
Unfortunately, the most recent one, it was like April of last year was the last completed list of this, and the Hound I saw. Where is he?
Oh, the Hound's gonna be way in front.
He's top 10.
This is the top 10.
Are we talking one-on-one, or are we talking, like, overall killing of people?
I don't know. But more or less, as of, like, a year ago, April of last year, the Hound only had 18 kills.
Because I would say Dany has the most by ordering the dragons.
The most is the Giant.
They must be counting personal kills.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Giant was it? One Weg, one Dar, one. Is that what?
Okay.
One. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
R1D4.
But yeah.
R2D3.
All right.
Toa.
But anyway. The last scene I really liked too. I didn't like it as much until somebody pointed it out when Dany is returning to. Dragonstone, nobody says anything throughout the whole scene until...
Yeah, that was cool, when they're just walking through the whole thing, and then the final line of the thing, let's begin.
Yeah. Shall we begin?
Or shall we begin? Yeah.
Tyrion doesn't say anything, nobody else says anything. That was good. I liked how they did that. After, like, somebody pointed it out, and then I'm thinking, okay, I like how they did that. I didn't realize they didn't say anything.
Yeah, I realized that at the time. I was like, this is cool. This is nice. This is all you need. Just show them, show up, and then we're like, this shit's about to start.
Yep. And did anybody else get a little... Of all the blood and guts and everything, it didn't disturb me as much as the five-minute span of Sam cleaning up after all the maesters with the bedpans.
And then it was like, a little the long. Soup didn't look that much different.
Yeah. Obviously,
thinking of bedpans, like.
No, it really didn't, John. It really didn't.
Yeah.
It went on forever. It was like watching Preacher when the guy was in hell.
And then, Preacher did one of those scenes again.
That's right, they did, episode 4.
Oh, God.
No, 3. It was 3. They kept... No, was it
3? No, I'm up to 3 right now.
It's when...
Well, no, this the one you haven't seen, they did.
Oh, no, they did one in 4 with Eugene.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Or 3 in Eugene. They went through his hell. Yeah, they went through his hell. But anyway, it's
just... Check the show Sam watched.
Yeah. Anyway, it was wicked disgusting. Not the blood, not the guts, not the dog eating anybody, or the baby and... You know, Ramsey's stepmom. It was the freaking bedpans and the soup. And Sam Charlie, just every time he did it, he just like kind of puked a little bit.
It was just like dry heaving.
Yeah. It was like every like 3 seconds he was dry heaving.
It was like a 5-minute scene.
Yeah,
I would have been like laughing my ass off.
It was kind
for
of
the first like minute, and then after that, you're like. Okay, Adam Sandler, let's go.
It got repetitive a little bit, and then you're like, okay, let's get on with this.
We got an hour to fill. Keep scooping.
I thought it was well done. Yeah, I mean, they definitely got the point across, but they achieved what they were trying to do. What else? Brandon Stark is now with the Night's Watch across the wall. Well, technically, he's under it because we don't see him come out the other side.
But. Well, yeah, but he's with the Night's Watch now.
Yep. And then, what is Jon Snow this episode split up?
Jon Snow was talking about getting the North ready for
defending
war.
The castles and things like that.
He mentions getting making sure not just all the men but all the women start training.
Yeah,
because they need troops badly.
Agreed. And he sent the wildlings to...
The wall.
No, but what castle, John? What castle was it?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Eastwatch?
Was it Eastwatch by the sea?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that... I made a note of that. And then later on, when the Hound was having his quote-unquote vision...
Yeah, by the sea, yeah.
It was the castle by the sea. So maybe the Hound and the Brothers Without Banners might...
End up there, yeah.
End up there with the wildlings, you know?
Is it super clear what the Brothers Without Banners are doing right now?
It hasn't been clear since the first episode.
Okay.
They're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. What else?
It's sort of weird that they have all these things where, like, well, you know, they're just sort of set up to just kind of be there when the time is right, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta prep for it. What else was... There was one other thing I wanted to point out. Oh, Tormund, Giantsbane. He's getting a little bit closer to Brienne.
Oh, God, I want that to happen so much.
Everybody does. A redheaded giant will just be, like, prowling the earth.
Did you guys catch how Littlefinger was, like, having a little party to himself as soon as, like, Jon and Sansa start, like, fighting in front of everyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we think?
He's gonna fuck it up so much.
He will, but what do you think about the infighting between the two? I mean, she kind of ceded at the end.
I think that's gonna be a dynamic throughout the season. I think there's gonna be some tension there.
Do you think it's gonna blow up though?
No. I think Littlefinger thinks he's got he controls Sansa, and he thinks he's gonna be able to break him up. And, like, use her to gain the throne of the North.
Yeah.
But I think Sansa knows what she's doing now.
Okay. I can see that. Because even Brienne was asking, why are the Knights of the Vale still around? Or why is Littlefinger around? And she goes, we need him.
Yeah, and I know what he wants.
But yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Oh, we also found out where all the Dragonstone is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Dragonstone.
Yeah,
the Dragonglass.
Dragonglass.
Yeah.
Who knew?
So that should be interesting. Not to mention, guess who's with Sam in the Citadel? Jorah Mormont.
Oh, that was on the tip of my tongue.
All stony armed and everything. He is. Does he look like? I mean, it looks like.
Oh, that's the dude turning into the
stone. Yeah, stone man.
He's
in the Citadel, man. So. I don't remember if they mentioned anything else about it, but he's there.
Oh, no. They just showed the arm.
And then he asked if.
And you saw his silhouette. And
he heard about the Dragon Lady, and then Sam goes, no. Let me take my shit pants.
Has she ended yet?
Let me take my shit pants and go throw up in the bathroom. But anyway, did you guys watch the previews for next?
I did not watch
next episode. No,
I actually did not. No.
Oh, ooh. Should I say it?
I don't know.
You saw it in the preview. You saw it in the preview. John, do you want me to say it?
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Sam.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So in the preview, you see a wolf that is not Ghost alive. So who's the only wolf left?
There's still one out there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Was it
Arya's wolf?
Arya's wolf.
Yep. Because
she's becoming a Stark again.
She is a Stark. I mean,
like
the
wolf, she ran away from that. Now she's coming back.
Yeah. And in the books, they reference a pack of wolves led by a big female wolf, which is Arya's wolf. Just ravaging people, like armies and troops and stuff, throughout the whole Riverlands and North and everything. So they reference it in the book. They reference a lot of things in the book, but who knows if they'll mention this. But it looks like Arya's wolf has come back. I'm excited. It's going to be great. Any other thoughts on this episode?
It was a good day.
No.
It was a good start.
It was a good setup. Yeah. It was another setup episode, which is fine.
Like we didn't have to go crazy. We just needed to be like, all right. So all that craziness last season's all settled down. This is where we are right now.
Let's see what happens in episode two.
It's always going to be tough to have like a really, I don't want to say good episode, but just like to have like really strong moments, I guess, like when you have to like hit on every story and you can only spend like 8 minutes on each person, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like when you have those where you're spending like, you know, when it's split into like four stories, like you kind of, you get some like build up and some payoff, you know?
Yeah. Well, anyway, IMDb rated this, has a rating for this episode as an 8.8, and when this episode aired, the HBO app crashed because of overusage.
Okay.
And this is the most viewed episode ever.
Wow.
Of HBO. So, or of, I'm sorry, of Game of Thrones. Yeah. But anyway, looking forward to episode two, Sunday night again. I'm not sure of the timing, and I'm afraid to look at the titles because I don't want to be ruined by the titles. So.
Bran dies.
Well, when you look at Battle of the Bastards title,
yeah.
I mean, let's face it, there's only two bastards that you know. You know what's going to happen. But anyway, John, do you want to introduce us to the trailer topic that you were discussing via text?
Sure. So, I guess, you know, we're kind of like in a tough position because we talk about trailers on the podcast and, you know, maybe watch a couple extra that, you know, we wouldn't otherwise see. But I think in general, at least for me, my sort of like take on trailers versus where I was like, you know, in like high school or college, maybe like I still love trailers just as a sort of like, I don't know, I don't want to say piece of art, but just like as a, like a film thing, like a really cool trailer can like sometimes be better than the movie. Like, I'll, like, pound for pound, like, enjoy it way more. But, as many people have noticed, and, you know, we've talked about it on here, too, they do give away parts of the movie. Whether or not it's more than you think or less than you think, or, you know, like, there's always these comedies where you're like, oh, I think all the good jokes are in the trailer or something like that, you know.
Or if it's Rogue One, they show you parts of the movie that just aren't even in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess, you know, I think the conventional wisdom has been to, you know, sometimes stay away from trailers. Like, Chris, you're doing this interesting thing with Black Panther, where you're just doing a total, like, shutout, right?
Yeah, so I listened to this other podcast, Comic Conspiracy. It's another entertainment, but mostly geared towards comics out on the West Coast. And there's this guy who is a huge Marvel fan, and he doesn't watch trailers at all. And he doesn't like to be spoiled by anything regarding movies. But I thought to myself, I watch so many trailers, and what you were saying about how you can see some of the whole movie, apparently Spider-Man 2nd and 3rd trailer, they essentially ruin the movie for you if you can piece it together. And I wanted to try something. So I know I'm going to see Thor, and I know I'm going to see Black Panther because I like it a lot. And I have high expectations for these movies. So I'm going to sit and watch all the trailers for Thor and read up on all the news and stuff. But I'm going to go completely blackout for Black Panther. And then see if I like any movie exponentially more than I thought I would. Or less.
What did you do during Spider-Man?
I stuck my fingers in my eardrums, rubbed my ears so I couldn't hear anything, closed my eyes, and shook my head.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Not to mention that really hurt my ears afterwards.
What's Spider-Man say?
That's going to be tricky. So that's going to suck a lot, because you know it's going to be the Super Bowl will have a freaking Black Panther trailer.
That's
you know
easier to walk out
Thor,
on, though.
The Thor movie is going to have a trailer.
But like Super Bowl and on TV, that's at least easy to walk out of, or like, la 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 la.
Yeah. Whereas isn't Star Wars going to have a trailer?
Oh, I guarantee it. So you're going to sit there, and that's the issue with movies, is sitting there and being like, la 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 la. But it's so fucking loud that I'm gonna hear
it's hard.
Everything
it's
anyway.
Hard. Yeah, you gotta like take paper and just rub your ears so you don't just hear the crackle. But anyway, I think it's a good experiment, and I'll let you guys know how it goes. I mean, I recommend you try it.
Okay, I'll watch everything for the emoji movie.
No, but you're right. You're right, though. Like, I don't. You're right with your topic. It's if you're gonna see a movie, you're gonna see a movie. It doesn't matter if you see the trailer or not.
Right, like, and there's some movies where, like Blade Runner, I was, you know, well, I was never not going to go see that movie, but I guess I was just so interested in how it just generally looked that I was never going to keep myself away from, like, that first, like, teaser or whatever trailer that was that came out that I think we ended up discussing it on here. But now a new one came out this week, and I'm like, well, I know I'm going to see it. I kind of have, like, a sense of what the movie is. Like, you know, why? What is this really going to gain? I might go see it twice either way.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, John. Like, the way I look at trailers is I'll watch the first trailer or teaser trailer, if that's what they decide to call their first trailer.
Right.
And I'll watch that, and I'll be like, okay. Now I don't really have any reason to watch anything else, because it's just going to show me what I just watched and maybe throw some of the plot in there. Why do I want to watch that?
I usually watch one trailer.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
It's like the first trailer is usually that drops. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Like, but I'd make the argument that even if it does spoil the movie a bit, if it's a good enough movie, the spoiling shouldn't matter.
Right.
And you want to know something crazy? That 18 years ago, when Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, dropped, when the trailer came out for that, obviously only in theaters, because you couldn't find it online, because nothing dropped online, tons of people bought tickets to other movies just for the trailer and just left the theater. They spent money on just the trailer. So it's kind of like impressive that the power of a trailer has diminished so much in less than 20 years.
That's just stupid. Just stay and watch the movie.
I know. But, well, but the fact that
some people just want.
Right. If people bought tickets to a movie they had no interest in seeing just to watch that trailer, turns out it was a shitty movie. But still, like, that was the power of trailers back in the day. And I miss those days. I miss sitting down and being like, trailers are the best part. I hate sitting down now and going, I've seen this trailer like 50 times on Facebook already. I don't need to watch it again. Like, you know, I always enjoyed the trailers before a movie. And I just feel like it's ruined with social media and the internet.
I will agree with you there that, like, you know, we see these things break over the internet, people discuss them, and then, like, by the time you actually see them in theaters, you know, see them before another movie, not the actual movie the trailer's for,
right.
But, you know, it's kind of, like, ruined. Like you said, it's already like, oh, well, I've fucking seen this already.
Yeah.
But I do disagree with you a little bit. I think I don't think they're any, like, less powerful or however you want to, or important.
No, they're still very important, but I mean, nobody is like literally buying tickets to shit movies just to watch the trailer anymore. I mean, people are watching the trailer because it's free and it's easy to get, but no one's literally going out of their way to watch these trailers anymore.
True, but I mean, I think people are also like discussing like actual trailers now more too. Like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know there's been some that have come out and have just like sucked so bad that they've been like the discussion online for like at least like a week or something. Or
yeah.
Like when like those Inception trailers came out, like everybody was just kind of like blown away for like a good couple of months, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And we also have this thing nowadays where they have to tease the trailer
which is totally like, which, once again, this is, like, my pet peeve for trailers, is a teaser trailer is the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If it's a minute and a half long, it's the trailer.
And it's clips from the movie?
Right.
Yeah.
A teaser, for me, is, like, 10 to 20 seconds long. That's a teaser.
No, teaser trailers have never been that long. Teaser trailers are trailers where you watch it and you have no idea what the actual plot of the movie is.
Right.
The actual trailers, you can, like, they... one way or another explain the plot. That's how I've always looked at it. Like, the first Star Episode 7 trailer, where it was just like a bunch of clips, like that's like a classic teaser.
Right.
But that was like a minute long.
Mm. I was okay with that, though. I think I enjoyed more than the other the actual trailers. That made me want to see the movie more, because I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah.
I just can't work myself up to care that much about trailers.
Oh, I love trailers, but
it's, I mean, like, you know,
I feel like the love is gone.
Eventually they get blurred together.
Love is gone.
Trailers 2 and 3 kind of get blurred together.
Yeah.
3 and 4 are
they're pointless.
Essentially the same thing.
Oh, if you're making 4 trailers, that's like just a waste of everybody's time.
I think
most movies do, though.
The Star Wars movies had 4 trailers.
Most blockbusters
big blockbuster movies have like at least 3.
Yeah. I don't need 4.
TV
I don't need
trailers,
3.
Cinematic trailers, like
I need 1 trailer. If you can't get the job done in 1 trailer, then you shouldn't be making a movie.
How much of your guys' lives have you wasted like watching the Japanese trailers to see like 5 different frames from the actual trailer?
0.
The Japanese.
I've never done that.
No, never done that.
Officially, have never done that.
Wow.
Unofficially.
Wait, what is it? Japanese.
If you watch like a foreign trailer,
I've seen these articles and then I've watched the video. I haven't like.
No, never done it.
But. Yeah.
No, never.
I guess when you just need your fix, man.
I mean, the only trailer I've ever gone out of my way to watch the alternate version of was Deadpool 2. And I was okay with that. Because it was funny.
Yeah. We might get a trailer for Infinity Wars at Comic-Con this weekend.
Maybe.
A teaser, maybe. I think they're
they played some footage at that.
Yeah, like, D23.
Yeah, they played.
It's like for Disney. One? It's like a Disney Comic Con,
right before Comic Con.
Right, yeah, the week
which
before.
Is separate from actual Comic Con, and then Celebration. Like,
yeah. It's getting a little.
There's a little
crazy with all of them.
But although that could be good in a way because it could drive the, I guess it would make like water down the market for Comic Cons and stuff like that.
I'm kind of okay with it, it might make it affordable for us to actually go out to LA. Yeah,
I mean, everyone's still going to go to the San Diego Comic Con. Like,
everyone would love to go there.
Oh, I would. I but feel like just that's like nuts. A bucket list kind of thing. Like, you definitely have to go.
The thing is, all of the costume gear that we would bring, it would cost a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to mail it.
I probably would not go in a costume unless, like, it's like a simple one, like my Captain America one.
Yeah.
You know, something simple.
But if it's like your Spartan suit.
Oh, God, no. I would never wear that out there. It'd be awesome, but I would never do it because of the cost of shipping.
It depends on what, yeah, it would depend how much it would be to ship.
And like if it gets
wear it on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure to bring a gun with you.
Oh, yeah, no. Actually, have to bring the gun.
Speaking of that, I need the plans.
They're up
for
on
my suit.
They're up on
I need the link.
No, the files are up on our drive.
Oh, all right.
Everything.
Oh, all right. Perfect. Gotcha. All right, but anyway, let's move on.
We solved that.
So let's save the World War II discussion for last because it's more like a list.
Okay. All right.
So let's do sure. Sam's challenge for the emoji movie.
No. So,
God. Why?
Okay. So I was thinking, what would be a good challenge for the emoji movie? And you know who's playing the poop emoji in this movie?
Oh, man.
Sir Patrick Stewart. So, with no knowledge beforehand.
Yeah, none.
I gave you guys 2 minutes to come up with as many Patrick Stewart movies as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about it, you think, oh, you got the X-Men movies, the Star Trek movies.
Yep.
But beyond that, it gets tough.
It does. It really does.
Because that guy mainly does television.
Yeah. Family Guy. He's in American Dad.
Even did the Star Trek TV
show. Star Trek Next Generation. So.
All right.
So.
But anyway.
Whoever gets the least has to go see the emoji movie because clearly you have not seen enough Patrick Stewart movies.
Before we reveal this list, let's start off saying when you said Patrick Stewart, go, my mind immediately went to French Stewart.
For some reason.
I don't know why. I was like, Inspector Gadget 2, Home Alone 3.
Shut, I don't think I've thought of French Stewart in over a decade.
Well, that's why I was, like, panicking. I was like, shit, I can name two, and they're going to get more than me. Thank God my mind adjusted to Patrick.
What were your two French Stewart movies?
I told you, Home Alone 3 and Inspector Gadget 2.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Patrick Stewart.
No, we are.
We are.
No. We are.
But,
I would need to know who French Stewart is. I need a picture.
Patrick Stewart was in Home Alone
3. Oh, no. French was. French.
But, but I'll say this beforehand. If we have a tie, we're going to knock off all the ones you have duplicates
together.
Of.
Okay.
And then whoever has the most at that.
Oh, man. There's we'll, a tiebreaker.
Okay. We'll win.
All right. Sean got the most. So let's just skip to me.
And yay. Okay. Sure. Why not?
All right.
What's your total number?
Total number.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. So,
we'll
wait. Sam's in control.
We're going to build up the suspense.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, Chris, how about you go first? Name off all the movies you did, and then give us a final tally. All
right, so correct
well,
me.
Well, how if- about... how actually, what if we did this? What if we, like, Chris went through his list? Well, no, never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I see where you were going, John, and no.
Yeah, no, I can see that, too.
Like, cross off all the same, whoever has the most different. No, God, no.
Okay, because right. I might be wrong here.
Okay.
X-Men 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Logan.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Days of Future Past.
Yep.
Yep.
The Wolverine.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't have that one.
Oh, yeah.
He's at the end.
Yeah. Generations.
Yep.
And Nemesis.
Yep.
Nemesis.
And that's Steve. It. I got eight.
No. You got eight?
You got eight.
I got eight.
Right, you got eight. All right.
I couldn't think of the other ones.
Okay, John, let's go with you.
Well, I did not have the Wolverine, but I did have X-Men 1 through 3, 1, 2, 3, Days of Futures Past, and obviously Logan. Then I had Star Trek Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis.
Yeah.
And then I also had Green Room and The Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that movie.
All right. And was that total, John?
That was 11.
11 Okay.
Not looking good for you, Chris.
No. I'm going to see this fucking movie.
All right.
Chris, you ready to go see the Emoji Movie?
No. Sean, give us the number.
Okay, we got X-Men, X2, X3, Final Stand, The Wolverine, Logan, X-Men's Origins, Wolverine. Yes, he's in there standing.
I know.
Days of Future Past.
Wait, yeah, but does he have a line?
Yeah. He talks to, he's like, come children, come with me. And they all run towards him to get on the X-Plane.
I forget if it was just like
yeah,
a,
he's saying
like a
left,
shower.
Right, straight.
Yeah, he's like he's talking Scott to Summer's head. Scott. Yeah. Okay, so Days of Future Past, Star Trek Generations.
I should have just wrote every fucking X-Men movie down.
Exactly.
He's in a whole
Star Trek First Contact, Green Room, Star Trek Insurrection, and I also wrote The Emoji Movie because he's in it.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't come out.
Doesn't matter. Okay, 11.
See, I didn't even see Insurrection.
Neither did I.
First Contact.
Neither did I.
Oh, First Contact's like the best one.
See, I just enjoy Generations.
He wasn't in the Search for Home, right? No. Spock, Search for Home, or whatever.
No, that was
his first one was Generations.
Yeah.
Now, the Next Generation quadrilogy is the four I had. Generations, yeah. First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis.
Fuck Star Trek.
Hey, I don't watch Star Trek either, but I remember doing
so. Generations is really more of a first of a isn't Generations is like a Next Generation movie
yeah.
that just happens to have Kirk in it
yeah.
and like, you know, Scotty Everyone. And Chekhov.
So, to give a final count, Sean had 11.
Yes, I did.
John had 11 and Chris had 8.
I'm going to come up with the fucking hardest topic for you, for you guys next time. And I'm picking the movie.
I hope.
Yeah, that's fine.
I hope you enjoy that movie.
It's going to be Valerian.
Oh, that's fine. We're going to see it this
that's
weekend,
fine with
right,
me.
Tim?
Huh? Yeah,
we're going to see Valerian.
See Valerian.
Yeah. God. We're going to see that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, no, I can't because... Because
it's this weekend.
No, because Emoji comes out in 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so it has to be after the Emoji.
Hopefully it's not a big stinking pile of Patrick Stewart.
Are there restrictions on this? Well, does it have to be like wide release or
I would say in theaters.
I mean, it has to be manageable for us to see.
And it has to be like, you know, pertain to our podcast would be nice. I don't really feel like watching some drama no one's heard of. That's going to be shit.
Okay. Oops, sorry. Turn the fan on.
Fan was okay.
Anyway, let's just.
I have a feeling there might be a shitty horror movie coming out within the next 4 months.
I'll need to look at my list.
Yes,
I'll need to look at the upcoming.
There
movies.
Are a lot of horror movies coming out. There's Leatherface. There's Annabelle: The Beginning.
No. You guys aren't getting a horror movie.
Oh, that's fine with me.
But let's just go on to the last thing. It's getting late. World War II movies.
Okay.
Since Dunkirk comes out this weekend, of which I might actually go see it. Which is strange, but
all right.
I love World War II movies, and it's just strange because it's after a bachelor party. But anyway,
oh, okay.
So it just John threw out a topic. Let's discuss. Let's kind of open discussion. Come up with a list of the top World War II movies.
Badge of Honor.
Whether or not they are, whether or not they're true stories. John, I don't think you specified, but I don't think it really.
Just about
I think
World
you're
War
just about World War II timepiece, maybe
Captain America.
Oh yeah,
the first.
If it's a war movie, it doesn't have to be like true. Like I got one I know that's like not true.
So let's throw out the obvious.
Okay,
Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, I mean that's already there.
Earn this.
I just came up with a quick list of all the ones that I could think of, and then you guys can just say whether or not. You think they should be there?
Okay.
Okay.
U-571.
No.
Das Boot, which is the same thing.
That's pretty good.
Flags of Our Fathers. Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. No.
No.
God, no.
I will say this. Pearl Harbor, if you only watch the last hour, is, like, decent.
On that note, you have Tor, Tor, Tor.
Yes.
You have Midway.
Fantastic.
Sands of Iwo Jima with
yes.
Yeah, that's Jonathan. Yep. That's one
where
of the
he
best
inexplicably
ones.
Keeps saying saddle up when they're in the
saddle
Marines.
Up.
What else was there? The
what are you gonna do with a horse on a boat?
Stand there.
Oh. Just on the bow.
you see the GIs like going down the nets into like the landing craft, and there's like horses next to them.
Yeah. Anyway, going down further, we have The Thin Red Line. Great movie.
I've never seen that.
It's really good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's
super long.
It's a little, yeah, it's a little bit dragged out in time, at times, but the points they're trying to make get made pretty well. So if you sit through it, I think you'll be rewarded with a good flick. The Emperor, also good. It's the story. I don't think anybody has seen it. Have you seen it, Sam?
The Emperor. I don't think so.
It's about after they surrender, after Japan surrenders.
Yeah.
It's about the lawyer who's in charge of just recommending whether or not to prosecute the Emperor for war crimes.
Oh, okay.
So it's about that. It's with, I think Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones is in it. He plays MacArthur. But anyway, that was a decent movie. It's on Netflix, I think. Atonement, which is... It's a love story, but it takes place... No, is it?
Yeah, it's World War II. I, isn't it?
Was it?
I think it might be.
Yeah, you're right. It might be World War... So. For some reason, I thought it was World War II. But anyway, it's not up there. I just wrote it down. Inglourious Basterds. Hit or miss? I don't know. Anybody?
For what?
I mean, I think Inglourious Basterds is a good movie. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's Tarantino's got this late stage where he, like, really goes for it. But, yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay. Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
Atonement, by the way, is Valkyrie? World War II.
Really? Atonement's World War II. Okay, yes. Yeah, so
Valkyrie with Tom Cruise? Really?
Valkyrie is World War II?
But
have you guys seen it?
We're not naming.
I've seen it.
You recommend it?
Oh, it's great.
It offers a different perspective.
A Tom Cruise perspective?
No. Have you ever seen a movie about assassination attempts on Hitler?
No, but I've seen one about an assassination attempt on Fidel Castro.
During World War II?
No, I'm just saying.
We're talking about World War II.
Yeah, well.
Okay. But I'm just naming movies. Captain America.
It's like a heist movie.
Captain America.
Right.
Battle of the Bulge.
No, Captain America doesn't fucking count.
Yeah. See, that, like, I shouted that out because I was joking. Just like Badge of Honor.
Battle of the Bulge. Patton.
Patton's yes. Good.
The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
The Big Red One, which is great. The Longest Day. And...
Bridge Too Far.
Bridge Too Far. I love that movie. And Enemy at the Gates.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's more, I don't...
Enemy at the Gates is shit upon, but I enjoyed it.
I'm gonna throw this out there. Uh-huh. Downfall.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That is a really good movie.
Talk about a
really
different perspective.
Downfall.
Yeah.
It's
about
Hitler.
Like a movie
Hitler's
that
last
you
days.
Watch it at the beginning, and it's kind of fucked up to say, but it's like a little... It's like...
Yeah, they kind of paint Hitler kind of
like
sympathetic.
Depressing. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, ooh, I kind of feel sorry for him. And then you remember, oh, yeah, this is Hitler.
Literally. Yeah, I mean, like, you don't necessarily feel sorry for Hitler. You're just like, this oh, my
just,
God.
This is
like,
just a shitty situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then
it's a really, really good movie.
There was another one about a plane crew who... It's kind of fantasy, but the plane crew like loses its front wheels or something, and then it has to land on one wheel, and then the bottom gunner is stuck and he can't get out, so they land and he lives. I forget what it's called.
Are you thinking of
Memphis Belle?
Is that World War II?
Yeah, Memphis Belle is World War II.
What, B-29?
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's a something. It's a fortress. The Flying Fortress.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's World War II, right?
Yeah, that's World War
II.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was considered one of the best, but it is one of the movies.
Yeah. It was all right. I got another one. It's a really good movie. It's not a war movie, per se, but it has to deal with World War II. Judgment at Nuremberg.
So wow. After that's a deep cut right there.
Would it be fun, Sam?
Yeah.
It's a deep cut, but, like, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other ones like that are just
like deep cuts where it's like it's like about World War II, but it's not necessarily a war movie.
Yeah, if you hear it, you'll say, "Oh, that's a great movie."
Yeah,
Gallipoli was World War I. What else was there? I bet you there's a ton of stuff that we're not.
Does the King's Speech count?
No, that was a good movie, though.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it ends at the beginning of World War II.
No, I wouldn't.
There's these two really good HBO movies about Churchill that aren't exact. Well, one of them is World War II. The other one's sort of like the lead up to it. But I definitely like it's like a good, like, I got nothing going on. Just fucking put something on. Okay. It's like The Gathering Storm and
I haven't watched those, but I remember seeing them on like HBO Go.
One that you guys left out, another just fucking classic in my book, like top five World War II movie, Kelly's Heroes.
Wasn't the Wild Geese a World War II?
No.
Was that Vietnam or Korea?
No, that was like Africa.
Was it?
A bunch of mercenaries in Africa.
Oh, okay. I thought they were POWs playing soccer.
No, that's...
Is that Victory. The one with Stallone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is that one?
Victory.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I was thinking.
They had to explain to Sylvester Stallone that, like, it was impossible as him, as the American goalie, couldn't possibly, like, get this, like, winning goal to win the game.
Jesus. Also, a few just going off because we missed these, which is, I don't know how. Guns of Navajo. Navarone. What the fuck am I saying? Tor.
You said that.
I said that?
Yep.
Fury is out there.
I just thought of this one, Catch 22.
Okay.
Okay. I
mean, it's a World War II movie.
What else we got? Windtalkers.
Well, it is, but it's.
Oh, that one.
You have Force 10 from Navarone, which, like, yeah, why not? Like the ultimate, like, let's just make a sequel 20 years after the fact.
Harrison Ford in it.
Defiance.
Harrison Ford and
Defiance.
Robert
That's,
Shaw.
Which one's that?
Holy
crap! Daniel Schindler's Kirk. List.
Yeah.
Schindler's List.
Holy crap!
Oh yeah, completely forgot about Holocaust movies.
12 O'Clock High and Hacksaw Ridge. So I don't know. In order to wrap this up,
Saving Private Ryan is number one.
This is
done.
Just us throwing out like World War II movies.
But do we want to give what should be in the top five? Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Dunkirk.
I haven't seen it yet. Do we want to put Battle of the Bulge up there?
No. Battle of the Bulge.
No. Patton.
Patton.
Patton should be up there, definitely. Tor.
Yeah, I'd probably.
That should be up there.
I feel like should be something better than that, though.
Sands of Iwo Jima is better than that.
No.
No, it's not. No.
Yes, it is.
How high up should Schindler's List be?
No, we're not. Those are adjacent.
Oh, okay. The Longest Day.
Longest Day is pretty good.
Yeah,
I
put
prefer
that like
Bridge Too Far. Frankly,
I would say Bridge Too Far as well.
Yeah, I would actually say Bridge Too Far is a better movie.
Yeah.
Good effects.
That's about five, right?
What do you, Sam? If you watch Longest Day, do you go black and white? Or do you go color?
Black and white.
Yeah, you gotta.
You can't watch it in color.
Yeah, I hate colorized black and white movies.
Oh, okay, so it was black and white first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They might have done both. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think they filmed it simultaneously.
They might have, but like, it's meant to be watched in black and white.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Also, there's these like bullshit versions out there where and there's like a thousand different versions of Longest Day. Like, there's some where you watch it and like the French radio broadcasts are in English, like some bullshit. Like, what is that about?
Is that like the made for TV episode, like, issue?
I don't know. It was on when I was watching like Netflix or something, and I was like crying, like at like 11:30 at night that it wasn't the right version.
See, I don't think I've actually sit down and focused that much. on the movie, only because...
No, but that's one of those things you'd remember.
You notice it, and it would take you out of the movie completely.
Like, imagine if you're, like, sitting there...
You notice it because that's, like, the first lines of the movie, is, like, they're on the beach.
Like, imagine if you're watching Star Wars, the cantina, and everybody's talking English.
Yeah, Greedo just starts talking English.
What? No, that's not right.
He's got, like, a Brooklyn accent. Hey!
The thing is, with the Longest Day, it's always on AMC or TNT, and it's always 4.5 hours long.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Just, it's impossible.
The
it's
Longest Day is the longest movie, so I mean.
But anyway, yeah.
There's been plenty of great World War II movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll see what Dunkirk does. Yeah. We might... all the people who might see it, it's probably gonna be me.
The emoji guy.
I'll probably see it.
You'll probably see it.
Thing that I hope Dunkirk is like a start of something again is I hope it's a start of getting these like big ensemble like war movie epics like The Longest Day and A Bridge Too Far. You know, where it's just like a bunch of stories kind of thing. Where this seems like it's like 3 or 4 different things going on. Yeah.
That's what I heard from Dunkirk, is it's 3 stories interconnected kind of thing.
You feel like we're missing out on some of those?
Yeah, we're that's our list, I would not say, is the, you know, top 5. I could probably, if I sat down, come up with better.
Yeah, no, it's just open discussion.
Oh, Great Escape.
Hey, oh, yeah. Great Escape.
Wow. Dude, original.
Do. Stalag.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, 17.
They made another Great Escape movie.
They did?
There's a second one?
But it's a different... I think it's Vietnam.
No. Really?
I'm pretty sure there's 2 Great Escapes.
You sure it's just not The Deer Hunter?
Are you thinking, was it The Greatest Raid or something like that?
Oh, it might be the... Yeah.
Which, that is World War II.
There's another Vietnam one where they're trying... Is it? Because they're trying to break out... No, because they had AR-15s in there.
Well, the one I'm thinking of... had Franco in it.
Was that World War II?
That was World War II. Yeah, they were breaking... it was in the Philippines.
Oh, that's the one, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Oh, all right. See, I thought that was Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, all I got is the World War I one.
Oh, all right. My bad. But anyway, I recommend you watch The Emperor, though. You'll probably like that.
I just thought of one. A really good one. Letters from Iwo Jima.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of different perspectives.
Yeah.
It's from the perspective of the Japanese on Iwo Jima.
Can we all agree that some of the best is Band of Brothers?
Oh, God,
and the Pacific.
Oh, yeah. Those are both really
good. Well, Band of Brothers.
Yeah, I can never get into the Pacific, but I love Band of Brothers. Yeah.
The Pacific, it's the thing with the Pacific is it's 3 guys.
Yeah.
And the thing with the Pacific is... Unlike World War II, where you could actually follow a single unit throughout the whole war because they were always involved, the Pacific was always, let's send the first for one island, wait 10 more islands, send them another island, and it's just, they keep rotating out, obviously, because, you know, wounded
plus,
and things
it's,
like
it's
that.
A lot of them, like, sitting around hoping they don't die.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's far less glorious than... Band of Brothers.
I wouldn't say Band of Brothers is glorious, but it's...
But it does have that, like, you know, epic feel to it, whereas the Pacific's not that epic.
Yeah, it's more of a...
It's
these
like,
are the tortures of war.
Yeah,
and
it's a much darker version.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But anyway.
What's your, to close it out, what's your favorite episode of Band of Brothers?
Mine is the one that focuses on, was it Eugene the Medic?
That is a really good one.
That was Bastogne.
So
Bastogne, that's it. I haven't seen the show in so long, but Bastogne is my favorite.
Yeah, it's been a
while. That one was, like, the one that stood out to me the most, and I enjoy it the most.
I like, I like them all.
But if you had to pick one...
I liked, when they were overlooking Foy, when it took the point of view from the first sergeant.
Lipton. Lipton. Yeah.
I don't remember the exact name of it. It wasn't Points. It was the episode
before
Points.
Called Foy.
Is it called Foy?
It's called Foy.
Yeah.
The next episode is Points. And then the last one's Why We Fight.
Then it's The Last Patrol. Then it's,
Points. And then Why We Fight.
No, Points is the last... Oh. No, is it why we fight the concentration camp and points to the last one? Because it's points for them to go home.
Oh, I haven't seen it in a long time. But anyway, it's the one with Foy, the first Sergeant Lipton. So, but Crossroads is good, too.
That's my favorite.
I knew you would like that one.
And it has a camp, and Jimmy Fallon is in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is the one thing that's really nice about Band of Brothers. You watch back, you look back at it, and you're like, hey, I know him.
Yeah, Simon Pegg's randomly in it.
Yeah,
Michael Fassbender's in there.
Oh, God, Michael Fassbender's been in this the whole fucking time.
Not to mention, that's where Michael Cudlitz got his start.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I know, right? That guy from Fringe. One of the
guy from Office Space.
Yeah. It really launched a bunch of careers for a lot of people.
Yeah, it did.
So, but anyway. So, I guess I'm seeing the Emoji Movie in 2 weeks.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
We'll talk about it later. But in the next week, so next week's episode, we'll review Game of Thrones again, and hopefully Preacher. We can catch up on Preacher.
Yeah, we need to catch up on Preacher.
Yeah, there's some of us who are behind one episode.
I'm behind two episodes. That's okay, though.
Yeah, we should be all set. But anyway, that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Good night.